And there also seemed to be this theme and this idea of brokenness, that even our love and our affection can't be poured out at the feet of Jesus. Remember, and that comes from that whole idea of the woman who came to Christ with this alabaster box. Sealed inside there was a perfume, an ointment. It was costly, and it was expensive, and it was something that was of value to her. But she recognized that Christ was even more valuable, and so she brought that box, that alabaster box, to him. And in order to pour it out upon Christ, who was so deserving, that box had to be broken. And the idea there is this: there's something shut up within you that is precious. Your praise, your service, your surrender, your love, all of those things that we want, we really do long to lavish those things upon Christ and pour them out on him, for he is so worthy. But it will never happen until and unless that outer box broken, that pride, that resistance, that stubbornness, that thing in us that wants us to believe that we're all sufficient within ourselves. I've got this. And some of us, God begins to work on us, and circumstances of life come, and they begin to put a crack in that stubbornness, and they begin to break apart that hard-heartedness, and they begin to chip away at that resistance that we so often put up. And he's trying through the circumstances of our life to break us, that our lives might be poured out before him. And we keep coming with the super glue and gluing those things back together with our own efforts and trying to shore those things up again. And I hear the Spirit of God crying out today, no, be broken. Embrace the brokenness. Hear that. I believe that's a word for someone this morning. That God has been working in your life, trying to bring you to a place where there's an awareness in your own life that you can't hold it together anymore. And yet we try. And yet we dress it up. And yet we shore it up. And yet we glue it back together. And the heart of the Father would say to you this morning, be broken before me. Yes, it's scary to be broken. Yes, it's scary to be utterly deficient in yourself. It's scary to come to the conclusion that my life is a mess and it's in shambles and it's in pieces, but only when we come to that place. Not only can we pour out our worship and our lives to God as he so deserves, but it's only when we embrace, not just acknowledge, but actually embrace our own weaknesses and our own deficiencies. It's only, Paul said it this way, it's only when I am weak that he can be strong. And so I want to encourage you today. It's scary. Yes, it's scary. But let your life fall apart so that he can receive the worth and the praise that he deserves out of your life. See, some of you, and I'm just toss this out there again if the shoe fits. There's some of us that we're so sophisticated and we're so dignified and we refuse to have that outer dignity, that I'm going to call it what it is, that pride broken. And there's a praise in you that God deserves. There's a surrender in you that God wants to get after. And we've glued it together. There's a service that he's calling us to. And we remain resistant. And we think that because we come to church, that somehow that's the service he deserves. Can I tell you, the devil's in here every Sunday. You come into church, inconsequential until that outer man be broken. I don't know who that's for this morning, but I want to encourage you. Listen, you can never be so broken that he can't fix it. You can never be so messed up that he can't put it back together. You can never be so fragmented that God can't find all the pieces. I want to challenge you and encourage you this morning. Don't just walk into a broken lifestyle with reluctance. run to it, embrace it. Only when we are broken before Him, only when we acknowledge our utter dependence and complete insufficiency, will He get the praise that He deserves. And will you be able to pour out the worship and the service on Him that He deserves and that will bring you joy? I've never found anybody who resisted God in pride who was glad about it at the end of the day. But I've known people all of my life who poured out their lives in brokenness and in surrender to Him. They've just poured themselves out to Him. And they've never regretted one moment. So I don't know who that's for, and it wasn't something I planned on saying today, but I just really felt the Spirit of God stirring that in me a few moments ago. It's for someone specific, maybe for more than one someone, but don't try to hold it together anymore. It's scary. I know it's scary, but allow yourself to be broken and poured out at the feet of Jesus. Allow it to happen, and you will be amazed, and you will be blessed, and you will be strengthened. Only when we are weak is He strong. It's in my weakness that His strength is perfected. It's when I'm broken that my life can be poured out before Him. Amen? Lord, I just pray for that one or those ones today. They're scared. They're trying to hold it together. They're trying to shore up all of the areas that seem to be crumbling in their life. And yes, it's scary, but Lord, if we're trying to do that and if we're falling apart outside of You, then it's a terrible place to be. But Lord, we want to be broken before You. That's within us, that treasure that is within us can be poured out on You like You deserve. That we can be put back together in the way that we were meant to be. Lord, for that one today, allow them to hear this truth. Allow it to sink into their spirit. Lord, help them to understand and recognize that it's not always the work of the enemy, but sometimes it's a work of the Spirit to bring about brokenness. Lord, and cause that one to embrace that today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I really believe that was a word for someone today. I want you to take that, pray about it, ask God if He's speaking to you in that area. Amen. Amen. Well, that was just a freebie. Amen. That wasn't even in my notes. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, brother. We try to be obedient. Amen. That's all we can do. All right. You know where we are. Ephesians chapter 6. Is anybody wondering if we're ever going to finish this series? We will. I assure you. Ephesians chapter 6. For those who might just be joining us or who may have forgotten or whatever, over the, I'll say past several weeks, it's actually been quite a few months now, we've been progressing week by week through the book of Ephesians. And our basic foundational premise was this, is that our lives are not chaotic. God's purpose is that we don't live purposeless lives, but that He has purposed, He has intended to establish and accomplish certain things as they relate to Himself and, as far as we're concerned, as they relate to His body. And the key for understanding all of God's purpose throughout the book of Ephesians is that small phrase, small but amazingly important phrase, in Christ. And that all of God's purpose and all of His promise and all of His provision that He has for the body of Christ and for you as an individual really has nothing but theoretical meaning unless it finds its meaning in Christ. And so for those of us that are in Christ, we understand that God has declared amazing purpose for you. And as we were coming towards the end of Ephesians, we got to this one section, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. And it seems that we have found a concentration of provision that God has given to His people that we've been trying our best to unpack it and trying to lay it forth in a systematic way, a way that we can understand and make application for our lives. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. While you are turning there, I do want to mention a couple of things by way of just some announcement. Beginning in the 1st of June, actually, we'll be working towards our adjusted summer schedule. The most impact that we'll feel is on our Wednesday nights. So there are some printouts of this adjusted summer schedule out on the podium in the lobby. Encourage you to pick one of those up if you don't already have one. But beginning on June the 5th, that's the first Wednesday in June, we'll be having intentional discipleship classes. How many of you know discipleship doesn't happen just because? But it happens as we dedicate ourselves to grow and become disciplined and discipled and learned in the things of God and grow towards maturity. So beginning on June the 5th, we'll have our first in the Maturity Matters series. We're going to be looking at foundational things. Now, I can read some of your minds right now. Some of you say, well, I've been a Christian a long time. I don't need to know about those foundational things. Well, maybe we need some reminders. Maybe there's some things that we can just be encouraged by. Or maybe you are a fairly new believer and you're wanting to get a grasp and have an understanding of some of the foundational things of what it means to be a follower of Christ and to grow and mature in discipleship. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that. Be aware of that. If you have little children, don't worry. We'll be providing child care for those who are participating in the discipleship class. I'll be having out in the lobby next week a sign-up sheet. You don't have to sign up to attend, but it gives me an idea of how many packets to put together, because there will be some a packet that we'll be using. We'll be going week by week. There'll be certain lessons, and I want to have an idea of how many to prepare. So I'll have a sign-up sheet. I'll come with more than sign up just so that we can try to cover our bases. But I need to know whether to plan for 10 or 100. So just kind of help me out there, if you will. One more little announcement before we get back to the message. I understand that tomorrow is someone's birthday. Is that right? She's looking around like she doesn't know who I'm talking about. Miss Anna, is tomorrow your birthday? Yeah? Tomorrow? Hey, birthday. All right, now, you don't want me to start this, but would someone like to start us out with happy birthday? Thank you. To you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Anna. Happy birthday to you. You said you're going to be 31, right? 31? No, that's not right. Don't embarrass her. Let's just say she's older than 31. But we thank God for all of his years of faithfulness. Amen. God bless you, Anna, on your birthday. Amen. All right, back to where we were. We're talking about God's provision for us in so many ways. And when we get to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, this is what we found. We found that whether we know it or not, we are in an external battle. That the enemy is very, very real. And the sooner we recognize that, the better. Because if you fail to recognize that, you're defeated already. But God has intended that we experience victory. He has purposed that we experience victory in the battles that we face. Now, sometimes those battles seem to be taking place in our minds. And sometimes they do take place in the mind. But there's a very real enemy outside of God and outside of the kingdom of God. And he has targeted you. And he has targeted me, because you're made in his image, first off. And second off, for those that are Christians, you're not only made in his image in the flesh and in those ways, but you're born again and you are in Christ. And he doesn't like that. And so he has targeted every single one of us. How many of you recognize that? Sometimes it's not just the chaos of life. It really is a very real enemy that has targeted us. And so Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 begins this way. This is continuing on with this idea of God has made provision for us. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's wickedness, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and having done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth fastened around your waist. We talked about that. With the breastplate of righteousness arrayed, with the feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And some people say that, oh, that's all of God's provision for us. That's all of the listing of God's armor. But there is no pause. It's a continuation. What else has God provided for us? What else has God given to his people so that his purpose for victory can be accomplished? We keep going. Verse 18, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times, with every kind of prayer and petition. With every kind of prayer and petition. That's what we want to look at today. Praying with every kind of prayer and petition. So we kind of have a series with it, the big picture, the big umbrella is Ephesians. And then we saw a series within that on the armor of God. And now we're in our third tier. A series within a series. This idea that God has given us the provision of prayer. And these description that Paul gives here helps us to understand some very specific things about how awesome and amazing this provision of prayer is. We saw 2 weeks ago in the first week in this series that our prayer is powerful because it's in the Spirit. It is spiritually motivated. It is spiritually empowered. It is spiritually thrust forth. See, there's times you don't even know how to pray. And even if you do know how to pray, sometimes in your own weakness you can. And here's the real kicker, sometimes you don't even want to. Thank God for his Spirit that gives us the want to. Gives us the desire. And then even when we want to, sometimes we don't know how. We just don't. I know I need to wrap my head around this thing. I know I ought to be praying, but man, I don't even know where to start. Don't you think God's Spirit knows exactly where to start? And so sometimes it'll be praying with your understanding, and sometimes it'll be praying in the Spirit, and sometimes it'll be with words that you know full well what they are, and sometimes it's going to be with groanings and utterings, things that you don't even know where it's coming from. I remember one occasion when I was in college, I'm not really a morning person. I mean, I get up early, but I don't like it. I do it because I have to. I'm not quite one of those people who would say, don't talk to me until I've had 2 cups of coffee. Not quite that bad. But I'd rather not get up early, put it that way. Well, I was in college, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just woke up wide awake. I thought, well, this is ridiculous. I'm just going to go back to bed. But I couldn't. I couldn't go back to sleep. And so I just said, well, I don't know a whole lot, but I had learned that when something like that happens, you need to pray. You need to find out what's going on. God may be prompting something. Sometimes you just have insomnia. Sometimes you just got a lot on your mind. But sometimes it might be God stirring and prompting at a specific time for a specific reason. So I just said, all right, Lord, I'm awake, and this is where I'll talk to you. And over the next few minutes, I just knew that I needed to pray for my sister. I had no idea why. Why in the world would my sister come to my mind at 3 in the morning? I didn't know what was happening in her life. I had no idea, but I just knew I needed to pray for my sister. So I started out just kind of going, all right, God, her name is Robin. So I just said, oh, God, pray for Robin. Not sure what's going on. But I just felt like I needed to pray for her. And then over the next little while, there began a stirring in me, and pretty soon it became, I don't even know how to describe it. It wasn't even just praying in the Spirit. It wasn't even just praying. It was like a deep guttural. I don't even know how to say it, but it was like I was in tremendous pain. It was one of the few times that I've ever experienced it at that level. It was, And it was just, I couldn't control it. And I don't even really know how long I was praying, like the agonizing, And finally that season just lifted, and I was exhausted. And then I said, well, I need to find out what in the world is going on. Well, before I could even call home, I got a phone call from my family, my mom and dad. And they said, we need to let you know your sister was in an accident. The early morning hours, around 2, 3 in the morning. I said, is she okay? She's okay, but she's in the hospital. Somebody T-boned her, you know, they bam, hit her right in the side, and her foot got caught in between the gas pedal and the brake pedal, and the momentum of the crash was thrust forward, and it literally snapped her. The inside of her foot was laying on the inside of her calf. And the bone was protruding, and it was awful. And I found all of that out later. And they said to her, you're fortunate to even be alive. And you know, she said, oh, God, when I'm lying there in dullness, and in ignorance, and I have no idea what's even going on in the world, much less in the life of my family. God, you stirred me by His grace. It was nothing to do with me, but He stirred me by His grace, and He prompted me to pray, and He put within me an utter groaning and an antagonistic growl almost that I couldn't begin to verbalize, but it had to be prayed. Now tell me again how prayer is a religious obligation and it really doesn't accomplish much. By the way, my sister's great today. Thank God. And so God's provision for us is powerful because it's prompted by the Spirit. And God's provision for us, as we saw last week, it's to be constant. Remember we talked about this idea that there is an atmosphere of prayer. And an attitude of prayer. The atmosphere of prayer is that everywhere we are and everything we are doing can and should be governed and permeated by prayer. That I don't have to be worked up into a special state, and I don't have to have someone playing soft music in the background, and I don't have to even kneel down somewhere. I can be driving my car, and it can be an hour long, or it can be 10 minutes long. Talked about the atmosphere of prayer. It's like the app of your life that's running in the background. And somebody actually drew a picture of that and sent it to me. It's pretty good. I'll probably post that on Instagram if I got your permission. Is that all right? All right. So cool. So check out the LTCC Instagram page and I'll put that up there. But it's like the app of your life that's constantly running in the background. It's that atmosphere of prayer. And then the idea that we need to develop, and God is calling us to develop, an attitude of prayer that is not just kind of some permeating thing that's always there, but it is an intentional commitment and willingness on our part to pray about everything and to pray in every circumstance and to discipline ourselves and to lay aside other things so that we can prioritize prayer. You know, I have read books on prayer, and I've been to seminars on prayer, and I've heard special guest speakers speak on prayer and its importance, and I've preached on prayer, but I don't want to be just someone who reads about and teaches about and learns about prayer. I want to be someone who prays. Who prays. And so it's an atmosphere and it's an attitude. And so then that brings us to our scripture for today. Not only are we to pray in the Spirit at all times, but then that passage in verse 18 goes on to say, pray with every kind of prayer and petition. Pray with every kind of prayer and petition. So we want to talk about not just powerful prayer and constant prayer, but today we want to talk about asking prayer. There are two different terms that are used in this passage to give us insight into this provision of prayer that God has given to us. The first one is just the general word for prayer. Pray with all kinds of prayers and with petitions. And so those two different terms, though closely related, they actually do have distinct and separate areas of focus and separate meaning. The first one, pray with all kinds of prayers. It's just the general kind of praying that we do. You know, we pray about certain things. It's just the stuff that we always pray about. We pray thanking God for our food, hopefully. We pray for safety when we go from place to place. We pray in general for our own welfare, and we pray that we and the people that we know would be in health and be strong in general. And generally we pray about some overarching kind of big picture ideas. These are the things that we just always think about and pray for. General prayers. But then it also uses the word pray with all kinds of prayers and with petitions. And that is a very specific word. It means it's not just a general overarching generic prayer, the thing, and those are important, by the way, but this one gets to the idea that sometimes and in certain situations, specific things are deserving of our attention. So the general prayer that I would pray for you is that you be in health, and that you would prosper, and that you live in the provision of God, and that you not be sick. That's my general prayer for you. But then I find out that Kitty's in the hospital, and so that becomes a specific prayer. God, you know, they've discovered something, and this is okay, they've discovered something on her lung, and they're not sure exactly what it is. And so now all of a sudden, I'm not just praying a generic, all, you know, covering blessing for everyone. Now I'm going to get right down to it, and I'm going to say, okay, God, there's something specific going on in Kitty's life. And sometimes I'll find out something about you. And just a general blessing is great, but when you're in a situation, there needs to be something specific said on your behalf, right? And I can go ahead and tell you, I want you to pray for me and for my family daily, but when specific situations come up, I'm going to let you know about that so that you can target in on specific things. And so we pray with prayers and with petitions, generally and specifically. Prayers and petitions. And so in essence, what Paul is saying here, God's provision for you, God's intent for us in experiencing victory and in spiritual warfare, God's provision of prayer, it has a two-pronged attack. You just pray that general prayer covering, and then when the rubber hits the road, you pray very specifically, and you target in on things that are deserving of specific prayer. That's kind of everyone knows that, right? I think sometimes, though, we don't break it down and think of it that way. We just know sometimes we pray about stuff, and then sometimes we pray specifically. And so sometimes we just do that naturally without even processing it and without recognizing that that's what's going on. But the thing about this is that some of us, maybe not here in this room, but within the body of Christ, there are some who have developed, either through lack of understanding themselves or through wrong teaching, there are some of us who have developed wrong ideas and unbiblical and unscriptural ideas about prayer. There's some people that believe, well, you know, God, He knows everything. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 says that God even knows the things that we have need of before we ask. Doesn't it say that? God knows what you have need of even before you ask. And so since God knows everything and He already knows what I need, I don't need to pray about it. Well, you know, in one sense, it kind of does make sense, doesn't it? I mean, that He's sovereign, that He's omnipotent, He's all-powerful, He's omniscient, He knows everything. He already knows that I need healing in my body. I don't have to ask Him for that. He already knows that I need provision in my finances. I don't need to ask Him. He knows that. Before I even pray, He knows about it. And so I don't really feel a need to pray about those things. They take almost a passive approach. It's just like, well, what's going to happen is going to happen. I'm either going to get healed or I'm not. God knows. I'm either going to have provision or not. Or God, my family's either going to fall apart or it's going to remain together, and I don't even, whatever. God knows. And so I'm just going to sit back and take whatever comes. And there's a part of that that sounds so right and so religious. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I trust him that whatsoever things he allows to come into my life are thus his will. And so I don't even need to pray. My Father in heaven knows what I have need of, and I trust in the sovereign hand of God. I'm not trying to make fun of it. Well, yes, I am. I'm sorry. God forgive me. Lord forgive me. I'm sorry. These are not bad people. They just don't understand what God has provided for us in prayer. So they don't pray. They don't pray about specific. Or if they do, it usually sounds something like this. Lord, we know that you can do anything. And so if it be your will. And that sounds so good, doesn't it? It really sounds religious. And it even sounds right. Lord, if it be your will. What do you mean, if it be his will? What do you think he died for? By his stripes you are healed, but it isn't my will. But then what did I do? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. But you know, it's only for the elect. It's only for those that are predestined. So what did I do? And so they've resigned themselves to just trust in the sovereignty of God and just take whatever comes to them and call it God's will. And not only is this sound, it sounds right and it sounds religious, but it's contrary to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Pray with all kinds of prayers. And about all kinds of specific situations. And the word that's used for that original word, that prayer, that it is a present. I'm gonna lose some of you, but hang with me. I'll pull you out of it. It is a present, active, imperative verb. Present means do it right now. Active means do it and continue to do it. Imperative means you don't have a choice in the matter. Do it. Do it now and keep doing it. That's what it says. Pray. Pray about general stuff and pray about specific stuff. Just do it. Just pray. Now, does that sound like it lines up with this idea? Well, God knows, so why even ask? Wait a minute, that's contrary to Scripture. And not only Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, there's so many other Scriptures, and we'll talk about a few of them maybe a little bit later, but there's so many other Scriptures that tell you to pray, that tell you to ask, that tell you to seek, that tell you to knock. Oh, well, if he wants to come in, he'll come in. If he wants me to find it, I'll find it. Contrary to Scripture, my friend. So then the question arises in connection with this. For these folks that would say, well, God already knows, so why even pray about it? The question arises then, so why, if that is the case, so why would God even tell me to pray for things? Well, there's several reasons I could think of. Number one is that it brings him joy. Think about your own child for a moment. You know, birthday is coming or Christmas is coming or whatever the case. How many of your kids make lists of things that they want whenever special occasions? My kids do. Every kid's got a list, even the older ones, they got a list. I want this and this. Okay, well, now all of that ain't happening, so you're going to have to kind of prioritize that a little bit. We'll put a few in the top tier, that's fine, but you got to. And here's the thing, at Christmas time, We buy our children some of the things that are on their list, obviously not all, but we buy them some of the things that are on their list, and then we buy them some things that are surprise. And we get joy out of both of them. You know, when they open up that whatever it is, and it's a surprise. They're like, whoa, that's cool, and I didn't even ask for that. But you want to know what really, when you give them something that was on their list, this is exactly what I want. This is exactly what I was hoping for. This is exactly what I've been asking for. Now, the kid is happy, no doubt about that. But there's something within me that when we're able to give my child, give one of our kids something that was on their list, something they've been asking for, the surprise is cool. But they didn't even know that one was coming. But that thing that was on their list, that thing that they've been asking for, as a parent, I just love to be able to say, yes, we were able to pull that one off. It took a little bit of doing, but man, this was something they really wanted. Now just think about it for a minute. Scripture says it this way. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is perfect and who knows exactly not only what you need, but even the things you want, how much more will he pour out his Spirit on his children? And just think of the joy that it brings you when you're able to make that wish come true. And just think of the heart of a father whose heart for you is nothing but love and the best interest for you. Just think of the heart of the father. Now, I know he doesn't operate the same way we do, but just bear with me. Just think of the heart of the father when he can say, I told you to seek and you sought. I told you to knock and you knocked. I told you to ask and you asked. This one was on your wish list. You prayed generally, and you prayed specifically, and I answered you. And so it brings joy not only to us who are the recipients, but it brings joy to the Father. And as we mentioned last week too, remember we talked about from that Jeremiah passage, it said, if you will call unto me, I'll show you great and mighty things. And we talked about that the great things were the things that benefit us, and the mighty things is the idea that only God can do certain things in our life. And sometimes we want to stop there and we want to say, yes, God is awesome and he has my best interest at heart, and when he works on my behalf, I get joy out of it. But keep reading, and in verse 9 of that passage, it goes on to say that his name might be renowned. You see, the real purpose behind God wanting to do things on our behalf is not just so that we can receive joy and so that he can receive joy. The real purpose for God wanting to work in our life is so that his name can be proclaimed, so that his name is on everybody's lips. Now, if we happen to get blessed in the process, that's all the better. But the real purpose, why would God tell us to ask? Why would God tell us to pray? Because he's wanting to pour out, he's wanting to do great and mighty things that his name might be praised. He wants everybody not just to say, wow, that was really cool, all of that blessing that came into your life. He's wanting everybody to say, look what the Lord has done. So why would he tell us to pray? He tells us to pray because it brings joy and benefit to us. It brings joy to the heart of a loving father, but it brings praise and glory to his own name. And then there's another reason, one more reason why he would tell us to pray, and that's because there are some things that are just not going to happen unless we ask. Oh, but I thought he was sovereign. Yes, he's sovereign, but he's given us a free will. And so there are some things that just aren't going to come to pass unless we ask. He wants us to come before him. He wants us to share our needs and our desires in faith, you see, because that's really what's happening when we pray. It's not just a religious exercise. It's not just going through some kind of spiritual motion. It actually is an exercise of faith. My faith is in you. I'm coming to the point where I recognize I can't fix this. I can't make it right. I can't put it back together. I can't heal myself. I can't strengthen my marriage. I can't save my children. I can't do any of that. And so when I tell you, you already know, but when I tell you about it, when I pour out my heart to you in faith, read the scripture. How many times would Jesus say, be it unto you according to your faith. I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Because you just wouldn't stop asking. I'm going to give it to you. Whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. There's some things that just won't be affected in your life apart from prayer. So you got this one group of people that would say, well, you know, God is sovereign, and I don't even know that I need to pray about it. I'll just leave everything to the providence of God. Nonsense. That's contrary to Scripture. Scripture says pray. Scripture says ask. Scripture says seek and knock. But there's another group of people, and I don't know if there's anyone in here like this. If so, maybe we could help you this morning. But there's another group of people who seem to think that their needs and their requests are just too insignificant to bother a great God. You know, God is too busy to be concerned about this little puny thing in my life. I'm not going to bother God with these petty, small matters. I'll wait until it becomes a big matter. Well, we all know how that works. We don't pray about it when it's a small matter, and so it becomes a big matter, and then we run to him in desperation, wanting him to fix what we should have been praying about all along. We want him to rescue us from a big situation, but he wanted to take care of it as a small situation. And here's another thing, too. That kind of mentality brings with it the idea that God is somehow limited, that he can't do two things at once, much less billions of things at once. Well, he's too busy sustaining the earth to come and meet me in this small little need. You think he's going to lay aside sustaining the earth? Sorry, earth, I've got to go too. You see how foolish that is? And so we've developed, some of us will develop this idea, well, you know, this is just a small matter, and I'm just not sure that I'm wanting to bother God with these small matters. When we think that way, we're actually revealing how we think about God. If we develop that kind of mentality that God is somehow limited and can't walk and chew chewing gum at the same time, that he can't sustain the world and tend to my need all simultaneously, then we are revealing what we really believe about God. We would say things that were like, God, now this is a big one. I didn't want to bother you with that, but this one is a big one. And so I really need your help on this one. And we'll say things like this. God, if you'll just help me out on this big one, I won't come to you and nitpick you with the small stuff. And so, you know, sometimes we develop this mentality that would say, I'm not going to bother God with the small things. And then people will come up and say, there are no small requests with God. And I understand where that's coming from, but I'd like to flip that around and say it this way. There are no big requests with God. Because it doesn't take any more of God to keep you safe driving to work in the morning than it did for God to let the sun stand still at the request of the man of God. Think of that. It doesn't in any way drain God to do anything. He's not like a battery that when we draw from him that somehow he's diminished in some way. And so we don't want to draw from him on the small things because I need to keep the battery good and strong for when things are big. That's nonsense. He doesn't just have power. He's the source of power. He's the source. He's not a storage container that we pull from on special occasions. He is the power source. And so this whole idea that there's big and small things for God, that's nonsense. Whether it's a cold or whether it's cancer, it's all inconsequential to him. The cold doesn't drain him any less than cancer to heal. It's just all the same. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. So there are no big and there are no small things with God. They're just things that we bring to Him and things that we don't. And so I challenge you to shake off that mentality. And so the bottom line then, as we get right back to what the Scripture itself says, it says pray with all kinds of prayers and with specific supplications and petitions. That's when we call in the air support. Remember we talked about that? Prayer is air support. And so then when I'm processing all of this and thinking, so okay, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, and I hear what the Scripture has to say, that God is not just requiring, but he's encouraging us, and he's reminding us, and he's prompting us, and he's saying, just pray. Pray general stuff and pray specific stuff. Just pray. And I hear that, but I got to confess, and this is just me. Maybe you're not this way, but for me, sometimes I don't really know what to pray for. I mean, I can always come up with something. Being the preacher, it seems that I'm called on to pray at everybody's birthday and everybody's potluck. And, well, you're the preacher, just pray. It's like, good thing I showed up. You guys wouldn't have any prayer over your food. I get it. They always turn to the preacher. That's fine. No big deal. So I can always conjure up something. I can always, just kind of fall into template mode and fill in the blanks. But there's sometimes I just don't know what to pray for. And so in those times, I'll pray Scripture. Because there are certain passages of Scripture, I'll name a couple here in just a minute, but there are certain passages of Scripture that tell us and give us a pattern for things that we should pray for. For example, you can go back to this same book, this Ephesians book, back in chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Paul is praying there, and he's praying for a general understanding among God's people, that they would understand and fully comprehend exactly the investment and exactly the inheritance that they have received in Christ. And he prays a prayer of thanksgiving. That's always appropriate to pray. God, open my eyes. Thank you, Lord, for this great and awesome thing you have done and continue to do in my life. Lord, open my eyes, open my heart to recognize just the value. That's a good prayer to pray, huh? Well, if you don't know what else to pray, pray Ephesians chapter 1. Or you could pray Ephesians chapter 3, where he prays specifically for these believers that they would be strengthened and that they would have an awareness of God's presence in their life. That's a good thing to pray. Or how about this one? We could pray John 17. John 17 is divided into three things. It's the prayer of Jesus. Number one, he prays for himself. It's not selfish to pray for yourself. Jesus prayed for himself. You want a pattern? Pray for yourself. And then the second part of that prayer in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for his disciples. Pray for those in your immediate circle. Your family, your close friends. Pray for them. And then he prayed, the third part of the prayer, he prayed for all believers. So pray for those in the church. Pray for those that aren't yet in the church. Pray for those you want to be in the church, in the body of Christ. That's a good pattern for prayer. You could go to the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. Oh, and then, man, you could just thank God for the fact that he reigns supreme, that he's in heaven, and that he's not like we are. Hallowed be thy name. Then you could talk a while about his holiness. Thy kingdom come. God, I want to see your kingdom established on the earth. Thy will be done. Lord, let it start with me. I want your will to be done in my life. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I need provision for today. And guess what? I'm going to need provision again tomorrow. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, don't let me find myself on a pathway that's going to lead me into something or into a situation where I'm going to stray from you. But Lord, keep me pure in your sight. Keep me on the right path. Don't let me get distracted. You see? Pray about everything, about general stuff, about specific stuff. Just pray. Just start doing. Well, I'm not sure what to do. Go to the Psalms. The Psalms are filled with prayers. Prayers of thanksgiving. Prayers of praise. Prayers of desperation. Prayers of asking for forgiveness. All kinds of. Just go to the Psalms. And here's the cool thing about that. When you pray in alignment with Scripture, you don't have to worry if you're praying according to God's will. Pray according to Scripture if you don't know what else to pray. And this, my friends, is how we call in that air support. It's a powerful prayer because it's prompted by the Holy Spirit. And it's an attitude and it's an atmosphere that is always surrounding us, and it's an attitude that we've adopted. And I'm going to pray about general stuff, and I'm going to pray about specific stuff. And just let me challenge and encourage you on this too. You ever been in a situation where someone would say, yeah, I'd appreciate it if you'd pray for me? Now, the general way that we handle this many times, we'll say, I certainly will. I'll be praying for you, my friend, and then we turn and walk away. And that's okay. Sometimes that's appropriate. It really is. Sometimes that's the right way to handle that. But Jim was telling me about a situation where a friend of his said, Jim, would you pray for me? And Jim was going to take that default way and going to say, yeah, I'll be glad to pray for you. And the guy said, no. I want you to pray for me right now. I got it all balled up. He said, I'm going to pray for you right now. And that's a great way to approach that. Now, that could get a little uncomfortable depending on where you are. I mean, if you're in church, easy. You're in the middle of Walmart, man. Come on, let's pray. You know, you probably don't go that far. But you know what I'm saying? If you're in the cafeteria in your workplace, it's one thing to bow your head and say, now, come on, Jesus, be our guest. Let this food just be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. It's one thing to do that. It's another thing for your coworker to say, would you pray for me right here, right now? Yeah, let's do that. And everybody's just sitting around going, this is the lunch table. What's going on? But that's okay. Pray. I want to remind you. Sometimes it's challenging and difficult to structure our lives in such a way where that becomes a habit. And it's a habit that you have to develop. And so what we would encourage you to do is understand you don't have to be in a corporate setting to pray. You can do that on your own. But it is good sometimes, too, to pray in a corporate setting. So we have opportunities that we provide here. There are other opportunities that you can find in your circle of friends. Just pray. Let's not just read about it. Let's not just talk about it. Let's not just preach about it. Let's become people of prayer. Can we do that? How many of you think that's God's will? I know it is. I know it is. All right. I'm done. Let's stand. Lord, I have to confess this morning that I have been and continue to be challenged by this passage on prayer. Oh, Lord, the times that I've taken this provision for granted, God, forgive me. The times that I've just either chosen not to pray or somehow felt like it was not the right time or the right season or that I'd be able to catch up later or whatever my excuse is, God, forgive me. I thank you, Lord, for the amazing privilege of prayer. And I'm asking, Lord, that you will cause us to have a stirring. Lord, let there be a stirring in our hearts. Let there be a stirring in our spirits. A stirring that isn't satisfied to leave things the way they are. A stirring that comes to the conclusion that nothing good is going to be accomplished outside of our prayer. And so, Lord, I'm asking, you will raise up men and women, boys and girls of prayer, that you will remove every obstacle, that you will break down everything that is out of priority, that you will rid us of our pride, that, God, we would become people who pray as if our life depends on it, because it does. Lord, as a corporate body today, we make that plea. make us, break us, conform us to men and women of prayer about everything, in every circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you. There'll be opportunities this week for you to put the truth of this word into practice. May God give you the strength for that. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Shake some hands, love some necks on your way out the door. Thanks for being in the house of God today.